Hey friend, it's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn. Here at the Portfolio Career Podcast, hope you take ownership of your career and design a life that you want to live. Are you looking to work with a creator? Well, in this episode, you'll learn from Bart Dzidzik and Max Zucker, who both started working with Mr. Beast. They both work in strategy and operations at Beast. And so in this episode, you'll learn about the type of work that they do, how to connect and reach out to people to chat, for networking types of purposes, the power of LinkedIn, and so much more. You can learn more about my podcast on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter that I send out every 2 weeks, if not more. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Bart and Max. What do y'all love about, this is weird to say, I know we're going to talk a lot about YouTube, but what do y'all love about LinkedIn as a way for like social connection?
Yeah, good question. I mean, that's how we got connected. I think... LinkedIn offers something a little bit different than probably YouTube. You actually get to, you know, connect with real people, and it's pretty organic too. There's not that many bots like Twitter. So when you get a DM from someone, you could easily see their background, see what's relatable, who's connected. And then if it's someone who you want to have a conversation with, you can easily do that. That's what I like about LinkedIn.
So, and then let's talk about this post that like got us connected.
Yeah.
Just tee up the post and then.
Yeah. I think, look, a lot of the opportunities I've been awarded to in my life have just come inorganically. So you can't really plan for some of this stuff. For me personally, I like talking to founders, people who have done, build interesting stuff or done interesting things that I potentially see myself doing in the future. And so it's kind of like a look forward to see what someone has, you know, experienced without you needing to experience it. And so I had a connection with somebody who invested in Mr. Beast, and we just went for a long 45-minute walk, and he was like, dude, you need to leverage LinkedIn. Like, LinkedIn's crazy. And I was like, cool, let's take a picture and I'll post like something about this conversation. I did. And then from that, I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of interesting. Let me reach out to this founder I know and just ask him a simple question. I did. I circled the response. And then that post got like 100,000 impressions. I didn't growth hack it or anything. I just kind of posted it. And it's just an interesting way to connect with people.
And what were some of like the responses to this? Because the post was basically around like, hey, I'm in New York and I want to connect with creators. I want to collab, et cetera. Like obviously besides this being the best thing that came from that. any other like takeaways that came away from that post?
Yeah. I think people like talking about themselves, but also sharing advice and insights and other things. So when they see someone who's young and who's eager to kind of learn more about them, they're organically going to reach out and kind of share their story. And so I got a lot of founders who were just like, listen, super interesting question, totally relatable. We know the person you posted about we've heard of him, would love to answer that question too. So I got a bunch of DMs of people actually responding to the question, which is what is something, you know, you believed in the past that you've kind of outgrown and why. And from there, it's just been an interesting journey.
Cool. Max, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, sure. In the phrase, like, if I was answering his?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen enough or done enough yet to have a real strong answer, but I've been fortunate enough on my journey to be more... I would say less intentional about planning a lot of things out, as Bart started out with saying, like there's a lot of things that happen spur of the moment. I mean, I'm a perfect example that started my career in investment banking, working at JP Morgan, very traditional career path. Cool. Quit my job because I wasn't happy and working 100 hours a week, and solo traveled in Southeast Asia and was in Thailand, Vietnam, and Laos, traveling around. And my old coworker, friend of mine, called me up and said, there's this role that's opened up at Beast. Are you interested? And I said, sure. You know, I was planning to come back to New York and networking and finding something at a startup, but I'd be, you know, be interested in doing more. And I had a couple of great interviews, and here I am 9 months later working at Beast with an old coworker of mine, and never would have, you know, planned for this to happen. So, you know, that sense of like, you never really know. You just try to build off of day by day. Yeah.
And were you traveling at that moment? Were you like on some like hill, like overlooking
something? Literally, yeah.
No, I hit him up and I was like, look, I think you'd really enjoy this. We've obviously worked together before and had good conversations. And so, look, just take the interview, take the call. And so he was like, okay, cool. But like, please try to make it later in the day because the hostel I'm at doesn't have, like, they play like bingo or some drinking games at night. So I'm trying to like find a room to do it. So yeah, he was traveling and then ended up coming. I don't know if you were in like wanting to come back at the time he did come back, but obviously the opportunity came about. And so he came back for it.
Cool. Okay. So then that's how you started working there. How did you start working with Mr. Beast?
Yeah, I was in a similar boat, did the investment banking route, kind of got burnt out towards the end and was just keeping my options open. And we would get a lot of venture capital, private equity inquiries. And so one of the folks was Polish. I'm Polish. So
I'm Polish too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You speak Polish or?
No.
Don't speak Japanese.
I guess
Japanese.
That's like everything Polish about this theme. Is like I don't speak things. Yeah. I think I speak English. Yeah. I mean, we might be able to translate this podcast. If you really want this podcast translated into Polish, hit us up. we'll try to make that happen for you.
Yeah. No, but anyway, I was connected with a guy who was a partner at a VC place. He was Polish. I'm Polish. I'm like, again, LinkedIn. I was like, hey, let's grab coffee. He was like, cool. Had a great conversation. Towards the end, he's like, hey, would you be interested in Mr. Beast? Like, they're looking for smart, obsessive, kind of student athlete type of people. I think you'd really like it. And I was like, great. Like, what's the role? He's like, well, you know, at that time, he's like, well, they don't really do titles, so just kind of figure it out. And I was like, great, okay. Ended up taking the interview. They kind of fly you down there for something called the vibe check. Was just blown away by just the sheer volume, the infrastructure of it all. I mean, it's 500 people working there. And so literally the next day, I was just like, all right, let me do this. And I think some of the variables to consider when you're making a big jump in life and a risk is, one, can you go back to what you were doing? And everyone, when I told them in investment banking, they're like, dude, congrats. Like, if you ever want to come back, you can. So that was great. And the second thing was like, okay, you know, it's a brand name everyone knows, from my cousins to Poland to, I'm sure, people in Vietnam when you were visiting. And so the risk was lower there. But also I was young and I'm like, I don't have a family, a mortgage. Why not take this risk and see where it pans out? And ended up joining in February of 24.
Wow. So wait, this, because you were at JP Morgan and you're saying that there was like this investor type of person who just, and then you reached out to him, you guys got together. And then he knew about this role of Mr.
Yeah, it's kind of like LinkedIn, but in real life, right? People know different people and, you know, word travels. And it was just through an email of an outreach for hiring for his firm, his venture capital firm. I reached out to him on LinkedIn. I'm like, hey, let's just have a conversation. And he, through a different friend, was like, hey, Mr. Beast is hiring. You seem like a good fit. Based off our hour-long conversation, why don't you take the call?
Cool.
But in anything, you have to, you know, have action, right? If I didn't reach out to him, if he didn't, you know, come to coffee, so.
Yeah. And what's the vibe check, by the way?
Vibe check, they just take you, they fly you down there because it's a little bit remote, like we mentioned before, just to see how you feel. If you know, coming from New York to a place in North Carolina, it's a little bit more remote. I like it because they give you a sense of, hey, you know, this isn't for everybody, but why don't you take a few days, spend some time with the leaders on the team, see what this is about, and then make a decision from there.
Okay. So you're saying some of the role has been remote and it seems like things might be shifting a little bit, but like,
No, I mean, it's a hyperscale, it's a hyperscale company, right? So there's changes every week, every day. And since, you know, we've brought in good leadership and have built out the infrastructure a lot more. So it's definitely, it feels more like a normal job.
How do you compare this role to investment banking? Given the sense you said this, like hyperscale, moving fast, Max, how do you compare this to investment banking?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say investment banking, like most traditional corporate jobs, are very hierarchical, right? It's very clear what your task is. You have a very clear objective. You have clear feedback exactly when it's done and what you need to get done. And when you're in a startup environment, and I would characterize us as a later stage startup from a infrastructure and a scale and a capital perspective, but from a people processing technology a little earlier, there's a lot more that's ambiguous and you just have to figure out how to get things done when it's not entirely clear. And so I think I was able to do that well in investment banking, but it's completely different, you know, job when you're in a startup environment. And some people thrive in that, and they like that, and they like the ambiguity and just figuring things out and having to put pieces together. It's kind of like a puzzle that you're trying to solve. Other people really like the very clear tasks and getting things done and ticking things off a list. So I think I try to pride myself on being good in both, but to me, it's more strategic and fun to be in that ambiguous environment. So,
cool. Yeah. Anything else about like how to work with people that are influencers, creators, etc.? Like, you know, we talked about maybe like, you know, if it was like to get a job at JP Morgan or etc. or like in the startup space, like, but in this case, like, knowing what you all know now about like how Mr. Beast operates, etc., like, what would you say to like someone who wants to work with someone whose content they follow or buy their products, etc.? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Good.
I think from what I've seen and being in the room with Jimmy, who's obviously Mr. Beast, and our CEO Jeff, there is a clear distinction between the creative vision and also the business building vision, and building the overlap of that, because content creators, they are optimizing for how they can engage with their audiences, right? How do they make great content that people love? And on the same side, on the flip side, you have to find people that are willing to actually help build a business, if that's the goal of what you're trying to do. And so building that, like bridging that gap and finding that dynamic is really important. So I've found that our new leadership and our CEO has done a great job in doing that. And it's been really cool to see how you do that. Because at first there was some tension, and there've been previous leadership of the company that have since left because they weren't able to bridge that gap. It's a really valuable skill set to understand how to bridge those two things. So
yeah, I mean, taking a step back, adding value, right? So let's say you're an editor or a producer. Yeah. Instead of just reaching out to that creator and saying, hey, I love to work for you, I don't know, take one of their videos and come up with some new concepts, or download their video and try to edit it a little bit differently to see what it would look like. And so from a business perspective or from a creative perspective, it's a very unstructured world, influencers, creators, right? Mm. And so trying to add value early on will just set you apart if they're getting a lot of inbounds.
So for anyone who's listening to this, what they should like make a podcast episode, make a reel out of,
you know? It could be, or like write a handwritten letter and send it to the creator's office. That's unique and different. I don't know. I think, you know, we tend to fall into this trap of, oh, this is how it's always done, so that's how you do it. Send a resume, talk to the person. No, like question those assumptions. What are some different, if you're really trying to work for someone or try to break into an industry or anything, a job, go to LinkedIn, go to like set, like figure a different pathway to get there, because it's not always black and white.
It's so interesting that, so, well, one's funny, you're like, this LinkedIn post had 100,000 views or something like that.
100,000 impressions.
Yeah. And then we were like talking about for YouTube, you're like, oh, that's nothing because we're used to.
Yeah.
Billions. Billions. Yeah. That's just like crazy to say that out loud. What is that like to work when you know that like it has such a impact like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it provides some sense of like passion to what you're doing, knowing that, you know, your output is going to be viewed by millions, billions of people.
Yeah.
It also, you know, gives you a higher level of scrutiny. So you have to be careful for what you're doing and make sure it aligns with your audience, but also with the greater community. So look, I think it's just similar to if you're at a job and, you know, you have your boss working and looking over your shoulder. Here's it's billions of people watching your stuff. So you just have to be a little bit more careful, but it provides you with a sense of purpose.
I love that sense of purpose. Even you're like, the stakes are higher.
The stakes are higher. Yeah, exactly.
But it's meaningful.
It's meaningful. Yeah. And like taking that massive audience and doing good for the world is aligns with my values and what I want to do. So, whether it's, you know, a recent philanthropy campaign we came out with called Team Water, where we're trying to provide clean drinking water to 2 million people, or any of the other projects we do, like if your values align with your company and what you're doing, then it's just going to make life a little bit easier.
How do you think that you like figured out your values?
I haven't. I think it changes as you go. I think, you know, you're born with some foundational element passed down from your parents and your environment early on. But there's a great book, Why Your 20s Matter. I'm in my 20s, and it talks about how your brain is still evolving in your 20s. And so don't be afraid to question those values and assumptions and go figure things out. Go have a podcast. Go on a podcast. Go, you know, reach out to the founder on LinkedIn. Go outside your bubble. Go play. Go to a chess club. Go to a dance class. Because you just have to create these experiences for yourself and see what works and what doesn't work for you.
Yeah. Okay, so then you two are working together now, used to work together before. There obviously seems like you're passing each other's vibe check.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Are there other people on the team that like you used to work with as well? Like, is it a very...
No. I think in a startup, but to answer it a little bit further, I think in a startup, when you're building something... and things are growing quickly, you want to work with people you trust. And so you tend to hire, you know, folks you've either worked with in the past, like me recommending Max and being like, hey, he's, you know, vouching for him. It just kind of becomes its own family, unique family.
Mm. Cool. And this actual like strategy and operations, like what does that role actually like mean? I think, you know, I know it a lot more from like the startup perspective. But what does that mean at a company like Mr. Beast?
Yeah. So I'll take a step back and say we definitely are a startup. We operate very much like a startup. In fact, we mentioned we're moving up to New York. We're renovating our office in Soho, but as that's being done, we're literally working out of our CEO's apartment. So very startup vibes. And that means that the strategy and ops team is a jack of all trades and doing a million different projects, right? So we're trying to focus in on the most high leverage, you know, projects that we can do that make the biggest difference. So a lot of the stuff we're focused on is fundraising and M&A, because those drive a lot of accretive, you know, value creation for the business. We look at a lot of strategic partnerships across different business segments as we're thinking about what new business development looks like. And then also thinking about how we can internally reposition our corporate strategy on the media side. We have a couple consumer products. We have a software division. So it's great to be able to look at the business across all these different fronts. And it means that we have our hand in a million different things and we're pulled in a bunch of different directions. Like I have a meeting at 8 o'clock tonight with some of our team on the West Coast because that's when they can meet. And so thanks for coordinating this. So this can work
likewise,
out.
Likewise.
Us.
I mean,
but yeah, that's a little bit of a flavor of what we're doing. Yeah.
Did you want to answer anything about the values question either? I know.
Yeah.
I feel like if I just like, no, you're like, wait, I wanted that question, you know,
there's a great, kind of test thing that I just learned, read about that I really liked, where you kind of write down five or six people that you really admire and aspire to, and they can be across every field, every single genre of people. And the idea is you write out the values of the things that you like about them, and you look for parallels in their path and their history and what you like about them, and try to identify what those specific things are and what you can try to do to emulate them, right? And so the example was like Michelle Obama and this CEO and this author and the specific things about them were that they were super genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are important to me, regardless of what space or field I'm in, right? So it's not really about like, this is the job I need to go after, but what are the values and the things that I want to take with me that make me who I am and I really identify with. So.
And was one of those five people in this room?
Maybe after this.
You're not talking about me.
No. Not yet.
Okay. I like this. Okay. And then the actual like HQ team, I know you mentioned it's like a startup, but that's like 20, 30 people or like what's like?
Yeah. About 15 to 20 people.
Okay.
Yeah,
exactly. And then M&A, that's like, what does that look like?
Yeah. We are obviously, we've raised some venture capital money. So we have some money that we can deploy. And I think we're considering internally what are the biggest ways that we can add value to the company. And so given our size and our reach, a lot of companies reach out to us because they know that we put our name on something, they can blow up. So we're just thinking strategically about the best ways to do it, because you don't want to come out with too many products at the same time, right? There's only so much that you can do strategically, and then there's brand dilution about it. So We've evaluated a number of stuff, but nothing like concrete immediately.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I'll add is like, think through the pathway of a typical celebrity creator influencer, right? They start off, they start doing something like Mr. Beast started making videos when he was 11. You started this podcast regardless.
7 years ago. Yeah. Not when I was 11. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, listeners. It took me a little time, you know.
But you build a community. That community trusts you. So you build an audience, right? We have the biggest audience in the world. You have an audience. I have an audience on LinkedIn, but everyone has an audience. Yeah. And now what do you do with that audience? What do you do with this massive megaphone that you've created? Mm. And you know, you see a lot of influencers and celebrities creating products or services that some are good and some are pretty terrible. They just slap their name on something and they say, buy this, because they want to make money from their audience. I think as we start analyzing some of the places we want to add value, you know, we think about how can we create products that are better for you, better for than your competition, and better for Mother Earth, right? And so that's kind of our North Star. And if it fits certain criteria, that's where we want to go to.
Okay. What would be your strategy for me, for my, I know, obviously we have an extensive history here. But yeah, I guess as I'm thinking about like, you know, independent podcaster, 7 years of podcasting, don't really make money from the show. I host some events around the show. Yeah, like, I guess like if you all were on my strategy team, not to say I'm poaching you all, but, yeah. You know, if you're on my strategy team, like how would we like get together Monday morning and, like talk about like potential things to focus on?
Yeah. Like great. Great question. I'll let Max answer after I give a little bit, flavor. I think the first thing I would do is, you've been doing this for 7 years, which is great. You have a ton of data, right? Mm. Let's analyze that data. Let's see what works, what doesn't work, what your audience really likes about your podcast, what they don't like, what fires them up. And then I would focus in and hone in on those areas and just make them better. And so you don't necessarily have to have a 5-10 year vision strategy. I think you can reassess and analyze and pivot and question your assumptions as you go. And then as you think about, you know, podcast, YouTube, there's kind of only a few ways to make money. One is AdSense. So from YouTube, you know, you make ad revenue, or you have sponsorships. So you grow your audience, or even the size of your audience is right now, you find relatable companies or services or products that also add value to your community based off of your niche of what you're doing. And you get an affiliate link, you get a sponsorship, you shout them out. Hey, say, hey, microphone company, we're using your microphones on our podcast. We love it. Yeah.
Audio Technica. If you're listening, hit us up. You know, we just gave you a free shout out.
Exactly. So, I'll let Max add anything else.
I mean, you took all the great ones. I'll just add, I like to think back to Jimmy, right? When he first started doing videos at 11, he used to manually record every single video he did, and he would track on like an Excel spreadsheet all these videos. And now we have this massive database of 500 million plus videos, and we do all this analysis down to the second, right? Of the first second, the first 5, 10, 15 seconds, right? Ways to optimize and growth hack your way to crack the algorithm, right? And so there's a lot of great data that you have over the course of 7 years, or you can really tap into that and better understand that. And to the second piece that Bart mentioned, to take a step back, right? At the end of the day, you want to build a community around you and the podcast. And how do you do that? And that's just adding value, right? And so really trying to understand what makes your listeners tune in every session and why they're listening, and then bringing in people that will add value to their lives. You want to create this really strong knit community that loves you and loves the podcast, and they'll tell their friends, right? You want to build a product that 100 people are diehard in love versus 10,000 people kind of like, because those 100 will tell their friends, and that'll slowly grow. And then that's where you can monetize it, because you know those 100 people are going to go buy whatever product or service you come out with, because they really love you and they love the podcast and they love hearing what you have to say, right? So it's like building a super highly engaged a set of listeners that really love everything that you do, and then using that to build a platform.
Are there any other like trends that, or like other interesting ways that you think independent or early stage creators are like making money or building a business or building a community?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to this point, is like, you could have 1,000 followers And if they're the most 1,000 highly engaged followers, that's great. We've heard stories of big celebrities that will do a sponsorship and they'll get zero engagement or post because people don't really care about them. Even though they have 10 million followers, they're some random athlete or something like that that's not really that engaging. Whereas the guy that has 20,000 followers, those 20,000 followers love them to death. And so the same brand that works with the 20,000 follower creator gets a lot more engagement, a lot more sell-through, and they're a lot happier than the 10 million dollar, you know, 10 million follower big athlete, right? So again, it's about building this super strong engaged community that loves you for you and what you're adding to their life and their community. So
if you're listening to this, let us know how else we can add value, what you really like, what you really love, what don't you like. I would love to hear more. You said about like the second and like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy knows this even better than we do, but we know what we'll do well within the first 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds, right? We have a 30-minute long video. You have to have a strong hook at the beginning to get people tuned in to watch the whole thing. And then that we'll call them like little nuggets that you drop in, hey, this is going to come in a little bit, you know, don't leave yet. You're about to see this huge reveal of this big thing in our video, right? And so you want to keep the audience engaged throughout. And there's a lot of great data on YouTube. You can see the trend rate of people that will click out of the video. And you can tell based off of video how certain ones are doing versus others aren't. I mean, that's just a couple little things. But we have a whole team that just does thumbnails, which is the video, the first picture that comes out. And we'll do A-B testing on 20 different kinds. And if you click on one of our videos, you'll see hour to hour they change, and we'll know which ones are doing better than which ones aren't, and we'll swap them out, right? Because those ones do better. Same thing with the title.
Swap out the thumbnails.
Okay. Exactly. And literally, it's a whole team. All they do is sit around and create the thumbnails and be ready to ready when they post, right? And that's just the infrastructure that we have as a massive media organization that can do that. But there's little things like that that you can leverage too. So
what did you say, that micro nuggets?
Yeah, like dropping in little tidbits of stuff that are going to come soon. Again,
what's coming soon in this? You know, should we like tease up a little like knowledge bomb here that Bart's going to drop? Okay. Well, in 30 seconds, Bart's going to tell you about this.
Stick around. Awesome stuff's coming by. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I mean that's exactly to Max's point. Look, YouTube's a platform that has infinite choices. Right. At free choices. So you don't have to, you're not paying for a subscription on Netflix to watch your one show. Sometimes you're going on Netflix, on YouTube as a search engine just to see what hits your eye. And so just think about how you interact with content, right? You're probably, this video looks interesting. Well, why? Because of the title and the thumbnail. That's where it starts, right? So let's say I fought Max on this podcast. The first 10 seconds of
that's happening in 90 seconds. Stick around.
90 seconds, yeah. No, but like the first 10 seconds confirmed that that's what's going to happen. So we would maybe post a little clip of me and Max fighting, and then we would go into the storyline. So there's little nuggets like that that I think, look, is it, it definitely helps, but going back to the foundation, you know, provide value. People go on to watch Mr. Beast video because it's entertaining, it's fun, it makes them feel good. So find your niche, and it doesn't have to be billions of views. Start with the first 100.
Are there any other is there a definite in the onboarding of working at Mr. Beast, is there anything like you have to read this book to learn how to like create these kind of videos or understand these videos? Is there anything that like is like, hey, like this is such the second to this podcast episode? Is there another, like obviously this podcast episode is going to be number one resource, but is there a number two resource of like, hey, if you want to learn how to create content, like here's the video or here's the book or here's the, yeah.
Yeah. To create content, I would say you learn a lot by osmosis at Mr. Beast, so you get thrown to the deep end and just go swim.
Yeah.
And it depends what you're doing too. If you're an editor, a producer, a person who operates a camera, someone on the business side, there's not really a one size fits all. Okay. In terms of resources for content creation, I'm big on, instead of going on Google and YouTube and Reddit and like diving into deep holes for that, find someone who's doing exactly what you're doing, but maybe a year or two in advance. So maybe you have 1,000 followers, maybe this person has 10,000, and just take them out to coffee and be like, hey, like, what can I do better?
Yeah, it seems like that's this, you're like, I one takeaway I'm getting from this is, like, if you want to have coffee with someone, just ask them if they want to have coffee. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I think we're all, or I'm slowly still kind of getting back from like a COVID kind of slowdown a little bit. And I'm out there, but like, I still feels like this, like, reaching out to grab coffee with someone, like, I don't know, unless I like have like a specific thing that I think I could do to add value to them. I feel like it's kind of for these kind of like strategic people. Like,
yeah.
That's why I like podcasts, is I'm like, hey, we can make something and we'll jam, et cetera. But it seems like, you know, hey, let's grab coffee is something that you do. I wonder if there's like a certain certain language or like certain approach that.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can go the Zoom route or get on a phone call. I think being in person, it just makes a world of a difference. Yeah. That's one thing. The second thing is make it easy for that other person. So put yourself in their shoes and ask them, why would they want to hang out with you, have a conversation with you? And you don't always have to have the answer. It could just simply be, hey, I'm a younger version of you and I just want to learn. So do you have 15 minutes? That's super convenient for you. Let me make it convenient for you. Where are you? What days work for you? Not, hey, does Tuesday or Wednesday at this time work? No, it's like, hey, oh, I see you work at this place. Like, do you have a Calendly link? Do you like, I can make myself available whenever. I mean, a good book that Max recommended to me is called The Third Door. That's a good resource by Alex
Benayam.
Yeah. And he was meeting up with some, you know, founder, entrepreneur. I don't remember who it was. And he just said, hey, I'm in LA for the week, even though he was in New York. and was like, let me know whenever I can come by. And they were like, oh, why? How about tomorrow at this time? Got on a plane and flew there. So you're creating opportunities by just, you know, making it easy for the other person.
Yeah. I like that urgency, like, or that kind of like scarcity approach. I've kind of joked around that, like, I mean, it happens where people say like they're going to be in town and like, they're like, who should I meet? And then like all these amazing people, like everyone like tags someone, like they're the person I think is so amazing. I've kind of joked around and be like, I want to like post and say like, hey, I'm still in New York. Who should I meet? But like, there's something about that like scarcity that like kind of, that like really creates magic. I did something, I was telling you guys about this like phone call experiment that I did, and it was time bound, and it was like, hey, I'm going to call one new person for July. And there was something that scarcity, like element, I think helped with that too. So
Did you post about your journey or no?
Like of how?
Yeah, throughout the month, like, hey, today didn't work, or today I talked to, here's a summary of this week's conversation. That would have been cool.
I did a couple. I did a couple. I also, I posted this one photo of me on the phone while I had an umbrella, but it was downpouring.
Yeah.
And I posted that on LinkedIn and I was like, hey, here's four things that has been happening. And like people saw the photo, they liked that. And there was, I posted a couple times about it, but I didn't want like, I don't think it was like, I got some other stuff I wanted to post about, but I agree. But people, there was people that like each time I did that, there were some people who were like, hey, I still want to do this if you are down. And so like the like, thankfully the interest list was like really high and kept on growing throughout the month. And like,
yeah, a lot of like, if you have diehard fans, people will follow your journey and they actually, they like that journey. Right. Mm. So another creator, Ryan Trahan, I don't know if you know who that is.
He actually came up, yesterday I was talking to someone.
He has a gummy business, but he's also a YouTube creator, and he just wrapped up, a big fundraising effort for St. Jude, where he went to an Airbnb in each of the 50 states in America. And it was like a cool, like his diehard fans followed that progression. But to kind of shift a little, you were saying, you know, people ask, oh, I'm in New York, who should I meet?
Yeah.
Maybe that's your value add. You're having a lot of great conversations. Maybe you have a really good repository. I know Max, Andrew Yang, or what's that guy that you follow?
Andrew Young.
Yeah, Andrew Yang. Yeah. Oh, you're... No, cool. I mean, he sounds like you know him, right? He does a great job at like creating community through these events. And it was all started as free and anyone can attend. And he slowly built off that. So,
yeah. Cool. Okay. So is there anything else we want to share about, like building a media based startup business, creating content, posting online, challenges? Yeah. Anything else that you think that like that we missed?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. One thing about the creator community that I didn't fully appreciate before I got involved in is how anti-establishment it is, right? So if you're in a traditional media world, right, if you move to LA, right, you hoping to get cast in a movie, you spend years auditioning, and finally you get your one chance and you've been selected to be in this movie, and you've gone through this super hard process of like finally being chosen to be put in front of the camera, right, and you've done it. And what I love about the creator economy and the creator community is that anyone right here can set a podcast equipment, anything, and just start recording, right? And so there's this really strong element where it's very anti-establishment and that screw people that went to LA and did all that. And also, like, let's work together. And we have this view at Beast, like, all, you know, high tides rides all ships. So we love flying creators out to North Carolina, and Jimmy loves learning from them and seeing how they've done stuff well. And we try to do the same thing back, right? And so, again, the view is next 5 to 10 years, we're going to keep growing this overall community as the creator community as well. And people should benefit by that and tap into that, like reach out to the people, see people that are doing well. The same thing that applies to the business community can also apply to the creator space as well.
Cool. So. Love it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey friend, thank you for listening to this Portfolio Career Podcast episode. I would love to hear what you learned or took away from this episode. I hope you find me, David Nabinsky, on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, if you want the best insights from the podcast and to hear my learnings, please subscribe to my Portfolio Career Substack newsletter that I send out every 2 weeks. You can find that on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com/newsletter. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.